You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Wednesday, October 14th, it's Steve Perry, Prospect 11's Kamal Hilton and Aaron Nielsen, and I'm Ian Clark, and it's ESSU On The Go, living it up in Toronto, and the playoffs, yes, Toronto FC beat the New York Red Bulls 2-1 at Jovinko Wonder Strike to secure passage to their first ever playoff appearance. We are somewhat in shock after the last eight seasons, but managed to discuss the match at hand, key performances, and can't believe we're weighing in on potential playoff opponents. All that and more on the next 35 minutes on Eastside Stand Up.
Actually go on the pitch?
So, well, they kind of went to the south end and everyone was running down, jumping over a thing.
Hey,
I know.
Well, it's one of the most important days of Toronto sports history.
This is a big deal, eh? I kind of feel like we should be rolling more crazy about the whole situation.
Well, I think we're surreal. We don't believe it happened. That's the thing.
Yeah.
We're like, no.
I cried a little. I cried!
So this
we're gonna walk and talk, or
no, we're gonna walk and talk. All right. This is we're gonna do this. This is on the go. This is the way we're doing it in the midweek. The walk and talk and
shake and bake episode.
So I had all this like witty, clever things to start this off, but then it's just sort of like, don't you think we should be marveling at we made the fucking playoffs?
Yeah, the first time in franchise history, and the Blue Jays win today. Like too huge. I don't know, man. My head's about to explode.
I think
this is the most important day.
This is what we've been waiting for 9 years.
For 9 years.
And I kind of feel like we're like
it's here. This and is I don't the know only, how to react.
This is the only TFC game where I feel like after the final whistle we said, "Hey, where are the fireworks?"
How many games have TFC played in their career now? Over 200.
If you do maybe 30 times 9 seasons, we're looking at 200.
Because I think in my history, I missed 6 games, either not on television or not at a game. So, you know, I think, you know, I'm happy, man. It's the first time on a podcast, but, you know, for the situation, I'm ecstatic, man. Just for the situation. Man.
I don't know how to react because I've never had any practice at this. This is crazy.
I was gonna say it was my first time in the supporter section at a TFC games. It was probably the best experience to be in there. Yeah.
And it was best pretty time because everyone was at the Blue Jays game.
I think that's we can start it off sort of with that the, you know, you come into BMO Field and pretty scarce. I don't think I've never come down here.
We were 50 minutes late, to be honest. Like, we lasted the baseball game in a close bar till the 6th or 7th inning and then kind of made our way over. But we were actually surprised, right? Because, you know, you're at these bars and there's, you know, packed to the brim. And it's hard to think that, I assume, it's funny because we were in the supporter section. And so when it was announced or was known the Blue Jays won, the supporter section actually didn't want to cheer for the Jays score. But then the crowd, the clapping around
everyone
the stadium,
was going, everywhere else,
so,
we were
you
going
know,
crazy.
And then, to be honest with you, the first half was kind of slow. Toronto's team, I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Sure, it was a B team, right? They didn't have any of the DPs out, none of those, very few starters. lots of people playing out of position, people not knowing where to be at the right time, people never playing with each other before in those positions. It was kind of a bizarre lineup to watch. And then in the second half when we went ahead, it was just like, I couldn't even believe it. I was like, someone has shone a star on us or something.
Kamal and I tried to get our Hercules song going because...
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of it. Well, it's from the cartoon. Remember the Hercules? Hercules.
The section we were in, I think everyone was too young to remember the cartoon.
So no, we're old guys. Old guys. They'd be like, they'd probably watch them and be like, that's a cartoon. Like the background just like rolls, or like same background reused over and over and over when the guy's running around, running down the screen.
Well, he looked good. The goal was nice. Like if we're just going all through the game without going in order, you know, we were in that, we were fairly close to where the goal was scored. And yeah. He got the ball, he sort of ran onto it, but then he did a smart thing to get it over the keeper. So
yeah,
it was a very respectable goal, and it looks good for us in terms of depth going into playoffs and later into the season.
Yeah.
One thing I do like is the option of having like Delgado, Ashton Morgan, and Morrow. All you can interchange like two of the three, and it works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it provides width. I like it.
Well, I think that would... Well, now that I'm saying Steve, I think we might be regretting not moving to the south end for the second half, but...
Yeah, sure, but, I mean, I want to say one thing, though, about, like, about how I don't think that the lineup was working very well because passes weren't going out to Morgan. Like, Morgan was playing in a position that he doesn't normally play. He was playing in midfield, and I think that's partially to do with because Bradley was out, Altidore was out, Jovinko didn't start. They were all sort of out on the on international games, and I think I just didn't think they knew where to be. Like where, like you know, sometimes when you got the chemistry, you just sort of it's intuitive where the passes go, and that wasn't there. No one was servicing each other.
Well, there's times where impact in the first half by being sent off.
yeah, which is crazy. And so even that is like a crazy part of this story, right? The calls from the referee.
Oh, yeah.
Referee was brutal.
I mean, we've complained about referees before, but I don't think I've seen anyone worse than this. And most times we couldn't even figure out what the calls were.
Well, this was after yesterday watching the Canada Olympic team getting kicked out when thought they got
The U23. So the referee. So the guy apparently said, like, himself.
He got a yellow card earlier for a legitimate foul, and then later in the game, it was during the end of the first half, right? And to himself, Fanil goes, "Come on," right? And so the referee runs over to him, gives him the second yellow card without realizing he gave him the previous yellow card. So the United States team run over and say, "Hey, man, that's two yellow cards," and basically kind of got eliminated from the tournament because of that play. So, CONCACAF refereeing, man.
So, Altidore was thrown out of this game, and he was on the bench, and he got a card for yelling, I guess, for yelling. And I thought usually you take a player off for that, but apparently we still played level at the 11 men.
Yeah, they still let him in the game, and he might be suspended, I think, for two or depending on what he said, right?
Yeah, but. Yeah sure.
Which could be a concern, but
Perkis got injured today.
Oh yeah,
taken out in the first half.
I'm disappointed in that.
Oh, okay, so he was the one taken off.
Taken in the second half.
Yeah. It was the second half. It was the one where he kind of ran in and kind of went studs up on a ball, and then it looked like he messed up his hamstring.
I gotta say, Jackson is the king of running the clock. That man can run a clock like nobody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At a time when we needed it, right?
I feel like we had an observation, a game like earlier in the season where Jackson went down right on the touchline and he rolled himself back onto the pitch so they couldn't start the game back up. It was brilliant. Okay, let's make sure we don't get run over by a streetcar. But let's cross over anyways. We will cross over, just try not to get flattened.
And I want to say that in another thing in Jackson's favor is that I think he had a great game on defense. I mean, for a while he was having some times transitioning to this position, but today he got in the way, stopped a lot of key chances from New York that could have been our end, right? Could have been our doom. So kudos to Jackson. I think If they ever gave a man of the match for defensive play, I think Jackson was up for it today.
But they give it for goals, Steve. We know that. Yeah. And if you haven't won it yet, if you haven't won it yet and you score a goal, you're a shoo-in for the man of the match. And Hercules Gomez gets it.
Although the nicest goal was by far Giovinco's when he came on in the second half.
Holy shit.
Couldn't give him. I guess he has too many.
He's got too many watches.
Although, in tribute to.
Fantastic drama, though. The guy comes off the bench. His first touch of the game. It's in the back of the net.
To Esu, the whole support section were screaming MVP right after he scored that goal.
Everyone's doing it now. The whole stadium does it.
So I guess your debate who should be MVP, I think that's pretty much cleared up. It could be cleared up by now.
Well, and that's the thing you see with them now. It's not just like Toronto homers that are chanting it. Yeah. They'll show that video on MLS Soccer, and all the comments are going to be people being like, holy shit. And now that we're in the playoffs, that was the weird asterisk that people were putting beside Giovinco was that only if they make the playoffs should he be MVP. And it's like, how can you not, even playoffs or not, put that output and connect that to a most valuable player?
The funny thing is the guy, the recent comparison who they thought should be MVP was Dex McCarty, who played today and was completely quiet throughout the whole game, right?
Yeah.
So to say that guy's even in the same conversation is just,
a lot of the players. There's probably only, really realistically, I think, is Robbie Keane. If you talk about just, quality and overall contribution, I think now that's what the race is. And the other...
And that's the great thing. We're seeing that in Montreal now with Drogba. Is that...
Holy shit,
the impact these players can make when they're real players, right? We're not selling, Brazilians because they play from Brazil. We're selling the top players in the world. And... To MLS's credit, but also to MLS's celebration that these guys are playing at their level and competing at their level, doing what they did today.
Yeah. So let's talk about where we're sitting now, Toronto FC.
I don't know.
I think we're a second place team.
Are we?
Yeah. I think we're the second place team with this because we had. Both us in New York were sitting on 31 games, and I think everyone else had 32.
Yeah.
And with this win, we leapfrogged a whole bunch of teams. I think New England and Columbus were both on 48, so I think we're at 49.
Yeah.
So do we start thinking about matchups now?
Holy shit. Well, now, okay. So this is the thing I wanted to say was that what we can talk about is what this result means in terms of who Toronto FC are. Because we talked about it before, Aaron, I think I mentioned it for the last month and a half, is that, Toronto's a team that beats all the shitty teams, and then when any team comes in that's got a pulse or a game plan or a couple of good players, they've looked like shit. They've looked terrible. And then today, New York comes in.
Today with a B team.
Yeah.
Now, to be honest with you, the Red Bulls were missing Sasha Ketchum.
No, he was on the pitch.
Oh, was he on the pitch?
Yeah, he was on the pitch.
I heard that there's both.
No, he was on the pitch.
Okay. Well, to their credit, man. And it's, arguably it's funny because we weren't talking about this in September. We're talking about just during the Gold Cup. But you thought that giving the B players this, pressure would help them develop as players and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And arguably we will admit that other than Wright Phillips, New York wasn't really, didn't cause much trouble. But at the same time, the B team, did well to keep them in the game and as I said, Gomez scored a nice goal and then wait till Giovinco came on to the end of the game.
Yeah, I thought there's a couple games you can draw from, but I think I was thinking back to maybe that Seattle game where Toronto was depleted. Went in there and was a little bit unlucky. I mean, Seattle, I think New York's better than Seattle.
Yeah.
But I think that was an example of a game where without our firepower, Toronto still looked like they were good for a point.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of thought might have been the story this game.
And I would assume that both Italy and United States have the dignity to allow Toronto to have the three DPs to join the playoff run. Even if there is an international break, I think there might be one. Now we're talking dreaming, but in the semi-final phase or the conference final phase, but
we can dream. We can dream. We're allowed to dream now, guys. None of this sort of it's the beginning of March and we're dreaming of making the playoffs. We're in the playoffs now. Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of, like, playoff matchups. And I don't have the standings in front of me, but, like, there's a few teams I think I want to avoid. And one of them's Columbus Crew. Even though that's kind of was a manufactured rivalry with MLSE and all, and Trillium Cup and all them. That's a team that's kind of scares me a little bit.
Well, you also talked about the Montreal-Toronto potential playoff matchup, which now that they have Drogba and they're improving, you know, that added a thing. Could change.
Let's pull over to the side. You know what, though? I kind of think of that in two ways. Is like, I agree. I don't like the idea of facing a team like Montreal or Columbus. However, those two, if those were home and away games, would be fucking crazy.
Yeah,
from traveling support. Because we already have that history with both Montreal and Columbus. So the traveling support would be amazing. And then just, I think the home atmosphere.
Well, and even though Columbus is improving this year, they've not had the fanfare that Toronto FC seems to be picking up as the season ends. So arguably, you know, if you take even the Blue Jays for an example, we could have a significant number in Columbus if the playoffs against Columbus, right?
They could play at Ohio State. I doubt it. That's a bit optimistic, but I just thought, throw that out there.
Yeah, I think everybody would want Montreal just from, like, both a marketing standpoint, even though we're not fully into marketing. You have Drogba versus Giovinco that they can sell. And it's just from, like you were saying, from a fan support standpoint, there's a natural rivalry there. Both teams can travel fairly easily. I think that would be the matchup everybody would want.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if that puts added pressure on the players because they're familiar with that rivalry, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you just want easy games or non-accustomed opponents so that you could just play the game, right? And there's not so much fanfare attached to the game.
Sure. Kamal, is there anyone else you're thinking of? You obviously mentioned Columbus, but if we are looking at it, and I think the truth is we're not going to know I don't think we're going to know our matchup is until the very last week of the season.
Yeah.
Was it you, Aaron, or you, Kamal, saying that is this the first season that all the final games are being played at the same time?
No.
Did I hear that right?
No. I think they had this last year.
Okay.
Two. But, yeah, I think that's a great thing to have in terms of, because I think, don't they do that in, like, England and that final day of the season? They have all the games at once.
Yeah, pretty much, whereas I feel like you know that you'll see other teams sort of in their added time and fans watching to see who's going to lift the trophy in that final minute, which I think is the way to do it.
Not to, like, what I think the focus should be is you don't want to end up like Vancouver or Montreal when they had their first playoff appearance and they got battered. Didn't, like, Vancouver lost to LA Galaxy, like, badly.
Yeah.
And then Montreal exploded against Houston Dynamo. You don't want that. So, I mean, I think you have to pay attention to matchups, not intentionally lose games or anything.
But with that in mind, have you know how both those seasons played out for both those teams. Would you say this is a comparable season that Toronto's had to, I mean, you can look at Vancouver's.
Well, we're not a fifth place team.
Right, yeah. Like Vancouver both of them sort of squeaked in and had horrible runs towards the end of the season that I don't think we've seen from Toronto. And also, I mean, like, if I remember correctly, the year Vancouver first got in, I mean, their goal difference was pretty atrocious.
Yeah.
And then Montreal, of course, the second half of their season was god awful.
And neither of those teams had a player like Giovinco, right? They never had the key star player, the guy who.
Other than DeVio.
Yeah, in some sense, but he's not.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's Italian.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, again, I don't think, you know, the biggest positive for Toronto all season, especially when Giovinco is playing, is they never seem out of it, right? Like, their biggest deficit is the opposing team never seems out of it. Even tonight's game, which I don't think we mentioned, but Wright Phillips scored a goal at the end to make it close. 6 minutes of extra time,
yeah.
Injury time.
Fergie time.
Made it a little pressure. But, you know, so I think Toronto certainly has a chance in every game they're in. But, I, you know, like what we just experienced with the Blue Jays in their playoff run, it's a 50-50 sort of pick 'em kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I was just going to mention the Blue Jays. Like, would you want how they started the playoffs, their the first time in a long time getting to the playoffs, and the way they played Texas at home in those first two games, and then they had to work their way back? At least they had best of five. Toronto FC doesn't have a best of five.
Now, do you feel confident that MLS management...
Let's try a cross here,
if we can.
No, never. Yeah, it's starting to sink in, guys. I gotta be honest, it didn't, like, when it happened, I just was kind of like, oh, yeah, we'll just sit over here. We'll just do it over here.
Since, you know, after watching the first little bit of the game, I was like, man, we're gonna be lucky to get a draw out of this. Like, that was the best thing I was hoping for. Yeah. I wasn't hoping for a win.
Yeah, well, even when they're up, I was thinking the draw, because that will get us in the playoffs, so.
Anyway,
well, I think I don't know if we really extrapolated.
It's kind of crazy the Jays won.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy. A bunch of crazy shit happens in one day. Anyway,
there you go.
Did the Leafs play tonight? Did anyone know the Leafs play tonight?
Yeah. Does anybody care?
Not right now. Definitely not.
So I think the new president of the TFC cares. Oh, yeah. Big Rangers.
Okay, we'll talk. Yeah, right. We can't talk too much about that, Aaron. This is a big day. We don't need any party poopers in here. So you and I have to keep it on the DL.
I do have a party pooper thing, and that is, do you think that MLB and MLS will be smart enough not to have clashing games with the Blue Jays and TFC now that the Blue Jays are...
Yeah, but baseball has a different rhythm, right? It's going to be tough.
Well, but...
It's tough to schedule that.
Yeah.
But you don't want a playoff game
like, it's the same
like today.
Time.
No, totally not.
No,
I don't want to do
the
this.
Same, even the same time.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like today, yeah. If they have an incident like that where we have a playoff game and the Jays are playing on the same day, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think
the Raptors are starting up too, so you have to pay attention to that.
So I don't think, I hate to say it, but well, who knows? I mean, people might be just interested in being part of playoffs, but I think the Jays might end up trumping TFC.
Yeah, and I think that's unfortunate, right? You know, it
happened tonight.
Yeah, but to the TFC people came, or to the fans that came out, I saw a lot of them were, I'm surprised, you know, that as many fans did come out, you know, with, you know, because we came
18,000?
No, but we came
that's called a generous smattering of 18,000.
Yeah. We came from a Blue Jays bar. And you know, that place was you know, filled to the whatever.
Yeah, we were
right?
watching the Blue Jays game at somewhere on the at the pitch, and then they turned off the game right when the game was starting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then the girl next to us had it playing on her phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Everyone resorted.
Kudos to her.
Social media or the mobile devices.
But Kate, did we? I feel like I brought it up. Did we really talk about what this win means for the team though? Beating a New York Red Bull side, the first place.
Well, you
team,
know, my fear with Toronto is in terms of management and marketing, is they're going to overblow this, right? You know, that this is going to be the epitome. This is our you know, great moment. And then if they do get eliminated in the playoffs very quickly, you know, they're going to look back at today as the iconic day in TFC history. And you know, for us to experience, especially following the team since 2007, it's a great day. But in retrospect, in 10 years from now, if they don't make the playoffs again, I don't want to say, oh, yeah, remember we went to that 31st game on a Wednesday night against the Red Bulls and made the play. You know, I want something more, you know.
It kind of goes to my point of like, okay, you got what you needed out of this game. Now you think of matchups and now you think of what's best going down the road, because again, you don't want to end up like Vancouver and Montreal did.
Just the sight and sound. Did you notice the TFC player who went on his knees after the final whistle?
No.
Like the FA Cup. Yeah, one guy. The two things. The funniest thing I saw is the player who was celebrating the most on the pitch was Gomez. He was had tears in his eyes, which I don't understand.
Hey, he used to hate us. Hold on.
Right? So I don't understand how you can get excited about something you've been involved in for a couple of weeks and 20 minutes, or, you know, 80 minutes on the pitch. But yeah, one player, when the whistle went on his knees like, you know, a team just lost the FA Cup, and cried to the ground. So I don't know what I just found it, you know, a little too much. But
I'll say in those celebrations, one guy that it seemed to really mean a lot to is Jonathan Osorio. You know, like,
well, if you remember what was going on, because
he's like, where am I? What happened? What's all these fireworks about, guys? Oh, we won!
Do you think the Perky injury is
a serious one?
Yeah,
hopefully. Sorry, guys. Look, wow. Everyone knows how I feel about Damien Perkey. And then look, I'm never going to see him in the locker room. I'm never going to run the street. He's never going to swear at me in French or attack me. So I can say it. I can say this from relative security and safety.
Though, using that as perspective, I thought he looked good on the pitch. And that's saying something about what the lineup was that we were playing with. Doesn't it?
Yes. And I, in all seriousness, he's played good the last couple weeks.
Hey,
but
that ball they got through to get to Gomez between that New York Red Bulls, he made fucking Perkey look brilliant. You know, yeah. that was a crazy.
Yeah, it was a great finish.
I think it's difficult to be overly critical of MLS defense with a, you know, because you could basically put everybody into the same, you know, kettle. But
yeah.
But my point that I was making about Osorio was they gave him the megaphone. The supporters section gave him the megaphone.
Oh,
and
no
he was
way.
Like yelling into the megaphone.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't hear it.
Okay, any guess what he was saying?
He probably didn't know where he was. Like you guys were saying.
No, to be honest with you, you know, the one thing I will remember.
Where am I?
No, he did.
Who are you?
I mean, he did look dazed and confused, but I mean, maybe he was. I just figured
he did look like he got knocked out from that free kick.
Yeah, I was telling Aaron, like, when he was coming up, it looked like he said he couldn't see.
Yeah, he was going like this.
Woo! Woo! He's like, I don't know where I am, and I've gone cuckoo. That's kind of what he was saying.
But the one thing, you know, another great experience is sort of doing sights and sounds was the fact that we were in the supporters section, and a lot of those guys have probably been there as long as you guys, and screaming their head off and dancing around and singing songs like, "We'll die if Toronto C loses," which I don't think they will out to it, but, to see them, right?
Some of them would have.
To see the relief on their face and to see, you know, this being a significant moment where, you know, arguably, I don't think, you know, Danny Dicchio's goal, I can't even think of the amount of times where you can truly cheer for Toronto FC, maybe the Canadian Championship, the one or two wins, but, you know, so to them, I think it's a great day, and, you know, and
my only sight and sound was the guy next to us who kept calling him Seba.
Seba. He didn't know his name.
Seba. And then he eventually caught on that it was Sebastian, and then he flipped back to Seba again. And everyone around us were kind of like, Seba? Why is he calling Seba?
He was also the guy telling to take everyone's legs out.
Hopefully, the guy behind us in the Red Patch Boys section thought Gorilla for New York Red Bulls was Breck Shea.
Oh.
And he kept on screaming Breck Shea's name the whole game.
He was like, "F Breck."
Do you remember Grella? Do you remember Mike Grella?
Yeah,
he was like he was a Duke player was going to be a number one draft pick, and he chose to go to England instead.
Yeah, with Leeds,
And then there was, I think it was, I don't know if it was the same year or the year before. Remember that guy Joseph Lapira?
Yeah.
That Toronto drafted?
The Irish guy, He went to Scotland, never made it, but.
Yeah.
Great background noise.
Yeah, riots in the streets of Toronto,
We thought of the Jays lots. I don't think they were TFC, but...
We were expecting public celebration, so...
Yeah, I'm actually surprised it's a little bit quiet, but although we're not in the thick of it, I'm sure downtown or, like, Young Dundas Square...
Dude, it's a weeknight. People got to work tomorrow. This is Toronto. It's a fucking company town.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Any segues, guys, out of this game? Obviously, we have Columbus on the weekend. Kamal, the team you don't want to face in the playoffs. And then Montreal. Now that we've beaten New York. Now, before this game, I would have said we might have been looking at loss, win, loss.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to make it to the Montreal game. So, and partly, to be honest with you.
Because you're moving there.
Yeah, that too, for next season after. Well, the Manning, we'll keep that for later. But partly to see Drogba. And so, you know, I'm being selfish there, but, you know, you've seen him play so far this season. To see him live, I think, would be an amazing experience. And especially if, now that's the other question, does Toronto...
Especially at the Stadium of Cheese.
Does Toronto, rest guys because they're trying to play him for the playoffs? Like, is this the last time we saw Sebastian Giovinco for the season in terms of, you know, keeping him strong for the playoffs?
Yeah,
I wouldn't. I'd look at these.
I'd be working for the pole position if I were them.
I would look at these two games as trying to send a message of like, okay, we're in. We're not only in, but we're coming for your throat.
And securing home field advantage.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want them to rest and then all of a sudden them slip to fifth or fourth or something like that.
Is it in their? And again, you know, might have to look this up. But is it in their? Like, is in their hands? Like, if they win out, do they get a specific position?
Yeah, if they win out, I think they finish second. Because I think everyone in the Eastern Conference is sitting on 32 games at this point. So that makes, I'm pretty sure we're in second, New York's in first by a comfortable.
If you finish second, you're playing the third place team, and then the first place team's playing the wild card winner.
Something like that, yeah. I'd have to look at it again, but okay. And we have home field advantage, obviously, through that first game, so which is very important.
Although it's a 2-game series, right, with the second game at home.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's the way I guess we're looking at these next two games. We probably won't keep this too much longer since it's the weeknight podcast. Keep it super tight on 30 minutes. But Aaron, I feel like I want to get in touch. I want to connect with you because we aren't going to go much into the sort of news of the week with the new president hiring.
Should we hype up the article I wrote?
Well, maybe we should do that because and it's interesting because it's like, does that change perspective in any way about today's game?
I joked. I hope they lost 4-0 just for the article's sake. But
and we're obviously, I don't think obviously with. Aaron and I have been having conversations back and forth about the hiring of the new team president, and not overly.
So who is he?
Well, he's the ex. Well, he's part of the whole MLS, you know, backroom staff collection, American guys, and all that kind of thing. He claims to have credit for being the leader of Real Salt Lake since. I believe but he inherited most of it. Like Beckerman and Raimondo and
Morales
were already on the team. And then the other thing is you know, these sort of sub things like, you know, stadium, dealing with the Argos thing, academies and all this kind of stuff. Number one, he doesn't really deserve the credit that team got. The second thing is he did an interview on a sports radio station here claiming that he'd been to Toronto only 3 times in his life. They asked the reporter asked him, what do you think of Toronto sports culture? And he goes, well, I was a big fan of the Rangers, the New York Rangers.
Really?
That's what he said.
He
goes, they asked him about the whole CFL and the Argos coming in. He goes, well, I'm a big fan of football, like, you know, American football.
Whoa.
So, you know, I think he's over his head.
Come on. I wish I get it. This was like a video pod we were doing. Kamal here is kind of like, looking on the side.
So, yeah, I think he's just another, you know, and basically I did write an article and to, you know, not, you know, people can read the article, but to conclude it, I'm less concerned about, or it doesn't concern me as much that Toronto is, you know, puts a lot of money as in a 500 team, but the whole culture of the team, you know, what they're doing with the academy, TFC2, young Toronto players who are trying to make into the TFC system, you know, they're not following the successful templates that successful MLS teams are having, which is concentrating on their local area as much as concentrating on your MLS goals. And it seems, and you know, I don't want to say words for Ian, but we think this is like an MLS-run club now opposed to a Toronto-run club or a Canadian-run club. So
I think Jason DeVos would be on our side.
Okay, sure.
Not often is he, but I think if you asked him...
Will Larson be on our side?
No, Larson is not. He is a good American boy, Kansas City.
Oh, is he? Oh,
yeah.
That's why Lauren was out of the top 20.
He will not care. That's why Lauren did not make the top 24? Why would he be in there? He's only the most, probably going to be one of the biggest transfers of a young player in the league's history.
Record rookie goal scorer, yeah, 19 years old.
Listen, man. Analysis is for the birds. Anyhow, all right, so you know what? I'm gonna leave it at that.
Wait till the playoffs end, then we can have a yearly rant podcast and we can all go off.
Yeah, we'll do that. So we'll just leave it at that. And I think, man, we're going to sleep well tonight. Not often has this ever happened where...
Well, I've been standing up for the last 3 hours.
Okay, that you'll be having sweet dreams of trying to see in their first ever playoff series. Now we can worry about who we're going to face off against. Never had that issue before. So Aaron Nielsen, Kamal Hilton from Prospect 11. Yeah. Everyone knows where to find you guys. Is it Prospect 11 is the full Twitter handle? Or is it
Prospect XI.
Prospect XI. Yeah. Steve Perry. They know where to find you, CIUT. 89. .5 on the dial. Sunday nights at 10 o'clock.
You got to get the TFC to do a punk song for the playoff run.
There is one actually. The band called the South End.
Oh, okay.
They do
a
couple of them.
Okay. Because we need playoff songs, man.
We need to come up with some new jams for the singing the whole time.
I'm bugging those guys to come into the studio and record, but they just fucking they're hard to pin down.
All right, you know me, Clark Arno. Info rednationonline.ca. Get in touch with us. Let's have some celebratory tweets and emails about what just went down tonight. And we'll be back on Saturday against Columbus. Maybe a little playoff preview, Kamal. We'll see how that goes down. All right, so we'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening, guys. Catch you next time.
agree, disagree, it doesn't matter. Also, check out another podcast from Black Hole. Footy Round. Thanks for listening. Yeah!